time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. Mitch, Paul, Matt Youmans today. David Purdom's going to join the program. ESPN Chalk coming up in 5 minutes. He had an excellent write-up on betting Russian table tennis that dropped last week on ESPN.com. I can't imagine what it was like to write this story. Have you guys been betting Russian table tennis at all anywhere, Paulie, Matt?
No.
Anything?
No.
I've not made one bet on it. I do know that Doug Kazarian at ESPN and Sean Harnish, handicapper from Boston, those guys fire on that stuff every night, but I have not made one bet.
I don't think those...
How do you find out the scores if you're not watching the live stream? Because I'm reading Purdom's article, and he says on the website, it hasn't been updated for weeks. The social media accounts stopped tweeting in March and putting stuff in March. I mean, how do you find out what the hell's going on if you're not watching a match live?
Yeah. You know, and why would they stop tweeting scores in March when all of a sudden people are interested in this from around the world?
Sure.
And now you say, well, we're going to shut down social media now that people are starting to pay attention to us.
Right.
It was a very interesting story that David Purdom wrote on ESPN.com. Check it out if you can. We'll talk to him about all the details. But as far as I know, Kazarian and Harnish and the guys who bet it, they stay up all night and watch the live streams, and that's how they know the scores. I mean, it's one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen in sports betting.
From what I gather, they've kind of flipped their lives around to where they're now sleeping during the day, and they're staying up all night watching these matches. So I was betting it, I think it was last week. I lost a decent amount of money in like 3 or 4 days, and I finally tapped out because the scores would flip. Like, I had a winner one day, and the names are like difficult to pronounce. I'm not even going to try it. But I'm watching the whole thing online, and the guy I bet on was a winner. But then 15 minutes later, it flipped, and it showed he lost. And the other guy won.
What?
And then other guys that I bet, like what I'm using to bet on, their names, their last names, I'm not joking, were spelled differently than what they're actually spelled in real life.
Right.
And by the way, it's not by like one letter. It's not like Volkov, V-O. They're off by 2 or 3 letters.
Right.
And finally, I just said, you know what? That's enough for me. If you're winning money at this, good for you. But I'm losing bets now where they're flipping the scores 15 minutes after. It's like NASCAR. And we're going to get the inspection done. No, Kyle Busch is going to finish 30th. No, not second. Hold on here. What the hell's going on? And the thing that pissed me off the most was I'm trying to look at guys that I'm betting on, and I can't even find them because they're spelled differently. It's like, hey, let's spell Johnson in the States, J-O-H-T-S-T-O-N or something like this. It's completely off.
Yeah, I'm shocked that, you know, something involving Russia would not have integrity. I'm stunned.
Yes, sure, sure. I saw some guys who are in their mid-60s that are playing this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-60s. I guess it's not a... Oh, look at the old fella. Look at the old guy there. Jesus, he's got gray hair.
Yep.
Paul, God.
Remember the guy that lost, what was it, 27 or 28 consecutive matches? He was relegated, and then he won like the first, I forget the number, but it was like a dozen or 13 matches in a row when he got dropped to the lower league.
Mm-hmm. Relegation, huh?
Yeah, they have relegation and Russian ping pong tennis.
They have a seniors tour and relegation in Russian ping pong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Matt, I like this.
Welcome into the program today. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Youmans. We'll talk to David Purdom, ESPN Chalk, coming up in a second. Sorry, Paulie, go ahead.
Yeah, I knew the reset was coming. I couldn't hear. that reset, I love it. It haunts me. Jacob sent a tweet in, Wendy's used to have a secret menu that included a T-Rex burger. 9 patties. I'm looking at it right now. $21.99 for the sandwich. Oh, my God, Matt. Nine patties.
How can you eat that? See, as much as I love to eat fast food, I don't gorge myself to the point where I look like a boa constrictor, where I eat so much, you just have this giant bulge in your belly. How could you eat a hamburger with 9 or 10 patties?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. You have to it comes out this big. You smash it down like this, and then you got to do whatever you can to get one nibble off.
Why don't you just eat like 3 triples if you want to eat that much?
That'd be easier. Okay. All right. Jeez.
That's the way to go. You're right.
All right. David Purdom now joins the program, ESPN Chalk. He's joining us now from Atlanta. He did a bang-up job along with a couple of other people writing the story on betting Russian table tennis on the website. And David, thanks so much for the time today. We certainly appreciate it. I just want to begin with this. How would you describe trying to actually write this story and put it together? Because tracking people from various parts of the world, whether it's sportsbook operators or in Russia, like regulations and all that kind of stuff, gaming corporations. How would you describe putting this together?
Frustrating. Just the lack of transparency. I mean, if anybody's read it, we talked to people in Russia and Ukraine, all around the world, and nobody could say, "Hey, yeah, I'm organizing these events. These are under my oversight." And we would get to partners, the people that are helping send the streams out of these feeds. Well, can you tell us who's ahead in charge of this? No, we have a privacy agreement with them. We can't reveal their identity. The commissioner of the league, you can't tell who they are? It was bizarre.
Yeah, and then you emailed a bunch of players. They didn't even respond. Like, one guy wanted the questions, no. And they didn't even respond to your emails.
No, and this is a league. We're talking about Moscow Liga Pro here, which was an established league in Russia. It was not under any governing body, but it had been taking place for a long time. And then on March 30th, when Russia goes under quarantine and all sports are supposed to stop, their website says, "We've stopped. We're not playing anymore." Well, as we all know, when we look on the sports books, there are hundreds of matches ongoing every day that say Moscow Liga Pro. And they said, "Well, we can't tell you where those are taking place, but we can just tell you that they're not to Moscow Liga Pro." Then we go on the roster of Moscow Liga Pro. All the same people are playing in these same matches. And it was just, something's not right. The most nefarious thing may be that they are not supposed to be playing right now because of the quarantine. They were just trying to avoid scrutiny. That could be the most nefarious thing else. Hmm. Now, there are other people who say this is a fix. There's plenty of allegations that these are compromised. That is very, very difficult ever to prove, and we certainly could not prove that. But certainly, there are suspicions.
Okay. Were you told of the betting irregularities? Were there examples of betting irregularities or shenanigans when all the people you talked to?
Oh yeah. I mean, there were several people that, made allegations I had one guy saying that up to 25 to 50% had some sort of compromise in it, whether it be to throw one set, or into the whole other match. Obviously it's really difficult to substantiate that. There were some integrity monitor services that said they have seen some irregular betting patterns in some matches. But they were talking like four or five matches, and there's hundreds a day. So it was very difficult to get any substantiating evidence to prove anything. And we can only kind of go by our suspicions.
Yeah, it's really surprising to me, David. I was talking about this, that Russian ping pong will not have the highest level of integrity. And it had to be a surprise to you, too, when you looked into the story. Now, seriously, though, the betting limits on this at sportsbooks noted in your story anywhere from $250 to $1,000 or more. When you say or more, what were some of the biggest bets that you, when you talked to sportsbook operators, what were some of the biggest bets they had taken on any of these Russian table tennis matches?
Well, the sportsbook operators, mainly the ones in the U.S., four figures was the largest ones. Now, in the paperhead market and underground local market, some guys were saying they were able to get down five figures, $10,000 or more on a match. But in the regulated market, most of them were keeping it, reasonable to $1,000, which still is a big bet, right? I mean, that's a big bet for the mass majority of us. And to be placing it on Russian ping pong just makes it even more extraordinary.
About Doug Kazarian, I noticed he was not quoted in your story. He tweets about Russian ping pong all night. He knows the names of the players in the league. He knows the players' trends. I was curious. Well, you did not quote him in here. Did he request that you not quote him in the story or what?
Not necessarily didn't request it. It just didn't, quoting an ESPN employee just seemed kind of weird. But we discussed it with him, and you're right. I mean, I keep on telling him he's got to write a first-person breakdown of his experience of this, because he is really into it. Like, he can talk about the players and who's good and who's not, who's garbage, just everything. And it's really funny to see. And he's not the only one, I should say. A guy that I believe has been on your guys' show before, Sean Harnish, who was quoted in our story, has also really gotten into this. So people are enjoying this. And I'd add that on Friday, after our story ran, the Indiana Gaming Commission ordered the sports books there to stop taking bets on Russia Liga Pro, Moscow Liga Pro. And I've had several people on Twitter say, what happened? Why? I was really enjoying it. I was really getting into this. So when people start saying, well, once the regular sports come back, you know, this will go away. Probably, maybe. But there are people that have really enjoyed doing this, the constant action of it. So it might be something that we see kind of hang around.
I do. Doug Kazarian doesn't know the names of the players. I mean, almost like most people know names on an NFL roster. He is that into it. Mitch, yeah. And you were talking about, you were betting this, but you found that some of the names were changing.
Well, David, the problem that I had was not only did one bet that I make, I was tracking it on like the Flash Score app, and the guy I bet on was winning the whole time, and he won it in five sets, and then like 15 minutes later, it flipped, and he lost the match. And I was like, how'd that happen? And then some of the, like the books, how the names are spelled, the names are off by more than one or two letters compared to what you're actually going to find on the score. So it's like, is this the guy that I have the bet on? Or is it somebody else? So I don't even know what the hell I'm looking at.
Where were you going to research it? Were you going on the Moscow Liga Pro site to look up the guys? Or did you find that had histories?
To be honest, it was I would just type in the Google search Russian table tennis, and uh-huh. I think it was one of the first one that pops up. I think it might have been like the Flash Score website where they have, if you go there, it's just you see the whole schedule and the whole list of just hundreds of matches that are coming up that day. Jeez. And then you can click on the individual like players or the matches, and then they get kind of give you a rundown of their history.
Right. Yep. We looked at Flash Score a lot too as well. There are several sites that you know, we got on some of the Russian social media platforms and looked around, and there are some stories from the past for the Setka Cup, and the Setka Cup is one that's out of Ukraine. It's very similar to Russia. Let me backtrack 1 second real quick. These are events that are what I call made-for-betting events. These are bookmakers that organize these events, team up with a data partner that can, you know, broadcast it and stream it, and they want to do it just to give content to their bettors. That is something that's been going on in the European world for a while. Instead of making an XFL, they made a ping pong league. And they made it instead of, hey, I want to partner with a bunch of mainstream media outlets. No, we don't want to do that. We just want bookmakers. And we'll just team up with them, and that'll be the whole economy. And that's coming here to the U.S. So the Setka Cup is one of those made for bookmakers, right? It's organized by bookmakers. And they, to try to protect their integrity, made their players take lie detector tests. And some of the ones that they took, the guys failed. And they were like, well, yeah, you know, some of these guys were no good. And we got rid of them. So they were attempting to monitor the integrity, but it's very, very difficult, obviously.
My God, what a story. I can't believe this. Incredible job by David Purdom. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch and Matt Humans. Read his article up on Russian table tennis. Outside of this, has there been a story that also has surprised you? Anything handle what people are betting since the shutdown in March and people looking for a reason to bet something?
No, I mean, anything else would be pale in comparison to table yep. tennis. You know, I'll give you a stat here. DraftKings, right? DraftKings, the big sports book up on the East Coast out there, one of the larger ones, right? So it released after for 2 years for the PASPA decision anniversary, which was May 14th. So for 2 years, they listed these are the sports that generated the most handle. Okay. Table tennis, number 7 in the last 2 years. They were not taking bets last year. So in the last three months, table tennis has generated the 7th most handle of any sport at DraftKings.
Oh my God!
Think about that.
I mean, it's like Nick's been doing this since '86. Yeah. He said it's the craziest thing he's ever seen. Has there been any controversy? I know you've been tied up with this story, but have you found any controversy or any problems with places grading these NHL bets?
Not yet. You know, there are a lot of people talking about what they're going to do. I believe you guys reported that William Hill is going to pay out on the teams that were leading the divisions. And then refund the second ones. I know Caesars has kind of been going back and forth on what they're going to do with the yes-no playoff ones, which are really interesting because you got 24 teams here left. 8 of those teams would not have made the regular playoffs, At first, I think they were going to pay all the yeses on the 24 teams. Well, then my question would be, well, are you going to refund the no's? Because if I bet no on one of these eight teams that we're not going to get in the playoffs, and they did, I would be a little frustrated. So there's a lot of, you know, we're in unprecedented times. How many times you guys heard that? We are. And these sports books are having to make decisions about rules that they never thought they would have to put in place.
And you're right.
It's a tough one.
Well said.
I'd hope everybody has patience.
Yep, and the same thing's going to happen probably in a week or two with the NBA. The exact same thing will happen with division winners and some of that other stuff. I really enjoyed your tweet on the prices in D.C. I mean, with your gas analogy, I mean, how about that? With where you see what the differences were in the prices, and then the NFL Week One, every game's $1.18 with the juice.
Like, I'm the first one to say that these are businesses, right? You can charge what you want. However, I get really concerned and a little bit annoyed, worried that if I'm a new better, brand new guy, I just turned 21 or however old you have to be, and I want to try this, you know, I want to see what it's like. And they may have no idea what the standard rate is, market prices across the nation. And so they hop on there, and they're not going to last long, right? They're going to churn through their money. They're going to have a bad experience. It's going to be over. So it's not good for the overall industry. And this is a European company, a company from Greece, that's come in here and promised its operators, you know, ridiculous holds, 15% hold or whatever it is. Nevada's hold has averaged about 5.5% to 6% for the last 20 years. So to promise somebody 15% hold on betting and then to offer -118, that's not going to be a good product, and that's not good for the industry.
Nope.
That's embarrassing.
Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, God. Look at that menu. Look at that graphic. That is disgusting.
Can't have that.
Well, there's a NASCAR race last week you talked about with 13 drivers listed at +650 or better. And that just can't happen. That was like, I think, David, about a 70% theoretical hold on that futures board?
And it turns out they actually screwed that up because that was supposed to be their top three market, and they had messed it up and made it, you know, the total win futures market.
Okay.
So they have a ways to go here, and it is frustrating.
Great job on the Russian table tennis piece, David. Excellent read. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys. Everybody be safe.
Yep, you too. And you can follow him on Twitter at David Purdom. I'll tweet that out a little bit later on today
The story, this one excerpt from the story, I think tells a lot about this. Liga Pro, a Russian-based organization that holds events for a variety of sports, including basketball, esports, and table tennis. The sports books are offering at least 100 table tennis matches labeled as Moscow Liga Pro or Russia Liga Pro to bettors every day. But the league's website hasn't been updated in weeks.
That is
just completely bizarre.
It smells like it's on the up and up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that piece in the story where I emailed several competitors and no one got back to me.
Right.
That was another one. And then the competitors range in age from their mid-20s to the mid-60s. Got 63-year-old guys in here playing. Yep.
I can't believe that, though. For DraftKings and going back 2 years since they've been up and running, seventh highest handle, and it's just been going on now since, like, the pandemic.
Like 2 months.
Wasn't up last year. So I've been going back and forth with Sean Harnish as well. He's a loyal VSiN listener and viewer, and I mean this as a compliment. If he's watching the show right now, he's a lunatic. Because once he gets involved, like in college basketball or baseball, he's incredible. You know him too, obviously, right, Matt?
He's into betting Korean baseball and all that stuff every day.
Loves all this stuff. Some of the stuff that he's telling me about the Russian ping pong or the table tennis is just unreal how much he's been tracking it. Good for him.
So at VSiN, we don't televise live sporting events. We don't broadcast sporting events, right? But we might have one. We might have one coming up soon, a table tennis grudge match involving Mike Palm, who won 182 straight matches in college at Notre Dame, and Randy McKay, who grew up with a ping pong table in his house. And these guys have challenged each other. We might set up a broadcast of this event. That would be more than likely Mitch and Paul doing a play-by-play.
I can't wait.
I'm trying to arrange the camera crew. I'm going to talk to Trib and see if we can get a camera crew set up. Yeah. It's up to Mike Palm to find the table. I said, Palm, if you find the table, We're gonna set a line in this match. We're gonna make props, and we're gonna broadcast this.
That'd be awesome. Up next, a great answer from an NFL player on if fans help with home field advantage. In 10 minutes, we'll talk about the latest in Major League Baseball, the counter from the players, and now how many games they want to play and how late the season would actually go. So there was a really good answer from a former L.A. Charger. Melvin Gordon did an interview with Marcus Cromartie. Pro Football Talk picked up on this. And so the whole back and forth, if we're going to have fans for the NFL season, if we're not going to have fans, how much are they, you know, what's home field truly worth? Well, this is a great guy to talk to, right? Because the Chargers have had the worst home field advantage now for years. His quote's great. Gordon said, "We didn't have fans anyway. We didn't have many Chargers fans at the game, so I'm not missing much." Right? Like, that's the kind of guy that I want to talk to. I want to talk to all Chargers here and find out from them. And I went back and looked, by the way, fellas, at their home ATS over the years, last couple of years. They were 1-5-1 last year. The only team worse in the league, Tampa Bay, they were 0-5-2. But look at the numbers. 2018, they were 2-5 ATS. The year before that, they were 4-4. 3-5 in 2016, 2-6 in Gordon's rookie year in 2015. And if you go back to 2010, nice round number, they're 31-46-1 at home for the against the spread mark. Third worst in the entire NFL.
I mean, I think anybody who bets the NFL was all over this past couple of years too. As you bet against the Chargers at home, Chargers were 2-6 in home games in Carson last year. One of those wins, Mitch, was over the Packers. Remember that dominant effort against Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers criticized his teammates and the Packers really didn't show up that day. But they were 2-6 straight up at home, 0-6 within the division in the AFC West, and. You could actually go back to their last couple of years in San Diego, as you did on that chart, when the fans had kind of turned on the team and visiting teams came in and dominated the stadium there in San Diego. There's been no team in the NFL that's been a better bet against on its home field than the Chargers the past 5 years. I don't think that's necessarily going to change this year either.
They were 0-6 in the division last year.
0-6 in the division, 2-6 at home. Yeah,
forgot about that.
There's been a lot of talk about this, especially from guys in the media, because they see how bad home teams are doing in Bundesliga, and if this will carry over into other sports.
Right.
And it remains to be seen. Who knows? But it's been a disaster for home teams in Bundesliga. I mean, big favorites are going down too. These teams at the bottom of the table are, no matter who it is, nobody's safe other than Bayern Munich. But I mean, think about that. You take out Bayern Munich, we're only talking about three. I only think it's only three teams that have won a home game, period. If you take out Bayern Munich, and they were 2000 and I think huge favorites in two of the games right there. Well, at least $8 in one of them. So it's something to follow. And a good quote though from Gordon about the issues that they've had. That was embarrassing for the league. Silent snap count and opposing fans taking over your own stadium.
I mean, some of the videos, I don't think I'll ever forget that. Some of the videos that came out last year, the Vikings video, or the pregame from everybody there in the media, right? Like, that was 99% purple, probably. And the Steelers game, that was a prime time game, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
I don't think I saw one Charger fan in the entire stadium.
Mm-hmm. There might have been a couple, but
yeah. It's like 99.8% Steeler fans.
Steelers defense, Duck Hodges.
That's right.
Won that game, too.
Mm-hmm.
How about Phillip Rivers? You go 0-6 in the division, and you get a $25 million contract from somebody else.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened in the history?
I can't imagine.
No, it's interesting because we've been talking about this with Bundesliga and how the home teams are struggling. And I got to think in the NFL, maybe in college football, you're talking about how much is built into the point spread and home field advantage. And I said initially, we have no idea, but I'm going to chop it in half right off the bat. If there's no fans, I'm going to say instead of 3.5 points or three and a half, I'm going to say it's 1.5 points. Maybe it's less.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, Paul, you've seen this in soccer. Do you think the home team is just, in a lot of cases, just emotionally flat, or what's the deal?
I think it's not getting the excellent adrenaline, the shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Now, you see, that's a rabid fan base, too. I mean, those fans are into it. So not to have them out there, and I guess it just feels like a practice and a kind of an exhibition for them.
Yep.
Road team, you already know what's going. It's like, all right. We're away from home. This is no big deal. Business as usual. But for the home team, just not to have that noise or have that extra adrenaline and that looking up and seeing your supporters there, it's been a major problem.
I can think of two teams right now that are super loud, right? And the fans absolutely mean something. I want to know what it's going to be like for the Seahawks and the Vikings. Uh-huh. Vikings have maybe the loudest stadium in the entire league.
Those are great examples. Right. How about the Las Vegas Raiders, too? The games would have been off the hook with a full stadium.
Up next, we'll get into Major League Baseball's latest plan as the players countered how many games they actually want to play now and updated numbers on will we get a regular season. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
CleanPhone.com. Now more than ever, we're thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands and sneezing into our arm. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely clean them. It's time to take cleaning your phone seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safe for your device, the Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean with 9 high-power UVC lights. Dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You can be sanitizing other items while wirelessly charging your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com today. Get one for just $89 in free shipping. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com.
I just cleaned my phone off a couple days ago for the first time in about a month. I decided, hey, it's time to get serious about hygiene with the phone.
Things are filthy. Filthy with those.
I'm serious.
Oh, you are serious. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I looked at it one day. I said, man, I haven't cleaned this thing off in about 3 weeks. I better do something about
this. How nasty was it?
It was pretty bad. But, you know, I'm alive and I never got sick. So okay. Everything. I survived.
You never, Mm-hmm. Again, nuclear holocaust. You'd emerge under some pizza boxes. It's incredible. Well, you never got sick.
Paul, you never got sick.
I guarantee Mitch had the virus. I guarantee he had it in December. We're all working in that same bubble, too. Yeah. Remember when the whole network was sick? Look at Matt. Impervious to everything. You never got anything. I can't believe it. You're never sick, either.
It's a miracle, like Donald Trump says. Miracle cure. 25 years full-time employment. I've never used one sick day. Never called in sick once.
Is that right?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Did you have? You had a cough, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Was that it?
I kind of had the what you thought you had with the coronavirus. Had that dry cough.
Well, I don't know what I had.
A lot of things. It was pretty bad, but yeah, I didn't call in sick.
I woke.
I felt like the more you eat, your body is better, more effective at fighting off infection.
Is that what it is? Yeah. The more fast food, the more deep fried stuff you put in your body.
I do feel like shots of whiskey and alcohol also kill off germs and things like that.
So, that part I agree with. Yeah. It's like Paul's deal with you. We could have the nuclear holocaust, and here you come. It's going to be Matt Humans and Keith Richards partying. Only two people left.
Yep.
That's it.
Paul's going to be left because he's not going to leave his apartment. Right. He's going to be safe in his bunker.
Underground bunker is what he has.
He's going to be drinking Coke.
You got it, baby. You got it.
Okay, so Buster Olney's story on ESPN.com yesterday on Major League Baseball and how ugly this could get for the sport, I thought was something else. This one of the early paragraphs on says, if they can't agree on a deal to play in 2020, baseball will become a loathed presence in North American sporting landscape, scorned by many fans. Uh-huh. The labor fight will merely be deferred with escalation in some form, all but assured because of the unresolved issues. So basically, he was writing that if 2020 doesn't get played, right, and there's a major battle, who knows what's going to happen in 2021? And right now, I'm looking at one offshore book that has the latest price up on will there be a Major League Baseball season? The yes is still 1-5. The no is plus $3.
I don't, how could you lay $5 on that?
I would not.
I don't know how you could.
This is just a long tennis rally right now. It's just a volley back and forth, mm-hmm. back and forth. They're not even close. So, and the fact that Jeff Passan said last week, there are several owners who don't want a season. That's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. At some point, they're just going to have to shut down shop because it's, okay, here's my proposal. Oh, you want 82 games, we want 115. And we have the right to pull the plug at any point with safety concerns over the coronavirus as well. Oh, all right, here's your proposal, not even close. Then you got Boris meddling in the mix. At some point, what are you going to do? I mean, even if you want to try to get in 80 games, if you get to July and you're not even close on the negotiations, what's the point? What are you be playing in December? Come on, please. Yeah. It's not happening.
We're talking about June 1st here, and they're, like Paul said, they're not close. We have the graphic of the new MLBPA proposal. Major League Baseball Players Association threw this out. Details came out last night. Like Paul said, I think it's for a 114-game season with more an expanded playoffs. Basically, what this is a proposal by the players, Mitch, to get more of the revenue. And the players want a bigger cut of the pie. They want more games, more of the money back, and it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. First of all, 114 games at this point doesn't make logistical sense. How are you going to have a 114-game season? We're talking about we're in early June, and you're not close to starting the season. So that's not going to happen. I believe what Paul said is correct. They're miles apart right now, and I don't see how you close that gap in the next 3 weeks and start the season by sometime in July.
I can't imagine. So the plan would be to play a 114-game season like you talked about. It would end October 31st, and then they would get into the playoffs. Huh. What if we get cold weather teams?
Oh, God.
Well, first of all, why would you play 114 games?
I don't understand.
It's a cash grab, right? Yeah, you're just trying to get back as much revenue as possible, but it doesn't make sense. What you should do is play 80 games with an expanded playoffs and play more playoff games that mean something because those are better for TV. And who knows, maybe by that point you might be able to have some fans in the stands. We don't know what's going to happen. But 114 games is just illogical.
Yep.
Right. Two other observations. And these greedy owners, it's I'm nauseous with how greedy these owners are. But the worst thing you can bring up and say to them is the word doubleheader. Well, no, I can't have that. I mean, that's if you want to play 2 7-inning games, you could knock those out as well. But they're just these guys with their anti-doubleheaders. So it's going back for years. Baseball should be playing doubleheaders all the time. I mean, that brings people into the ballpark, too. Yep. People love doubleheaders, and they've been against that for, seems, 10 years. And the other thing, imagine, and I don't know what the odds were, but when the shutdown happened, and if you were sitting in the middle of March, you had the NHL to return first and not baseball, or you had the NBA. It looks like the NBA is looking into August now. I mean, their best-case scenario is July 31st. But to think that the NHL could return before baseball? Mm-hmm. Even if baseball does come back, what were the odds on that sucker? This is lunacy.
Yep.
God.
Right. And other than like daily baseball bettors, and by the way, I talked to John Murray about this yesterday. He said, you know, the handle on Major League Baseball is very underrated. He goes, with how many games we write per day,
sure.
Like the overall handle on baseball, something just figured like, you know, on a Tuesday game, Marlins playing a day game against whichever, the Pirates. He's like, we're writing tickets on all these games, right? Like, so baseball's handle is very, very strong. But other than people who bet on, I didn't talk to one person when I was gone for a month who said they miss baseball. Not one person.
No. Yeah, I talked to a couple friends of mine who are diehard baseball fans, and they're like, you know, at this point, don't really miss the season. Don't care if they come back.
It's absolutely sad.
And I love baseball, and I kind of feel the same way. Yep. At this point, hey, let's just get on with the hockey and the NBA playoffs and the football season.
Sure. All right. Wait a couple weeks. Wait, there'll be soccer every day. There'll be soccer every single day in a couple of weeks.
And golf and soccer. Yep. So
that's right.
You got enough.
Up next, I'll run some observations by you guys. I spent 50-plus hours on the road in the past month. This might qualify for lose some. I did not pay attention. Did we have riots again in Oakland last night? A tweet from the Alameda County Sheriff at 8:40 Pacific time. Reports of a tiger are on the loose near the Oakland Zoo. If you see it, call 911. I don't think that would go over very well.
Oh, country's in chaos right now. This sports world's a microcosm of it, but... Did you watch much of the I know you're driving across country. Did you get a chance to watch much of the TV coverage of the protests and the riots?
Put yourself in my shoes for a second. Yeah, coming back from Wisconsin there for a month, and we left on Thursday morning, and I listened to a grand total of 0 seconds of news radio, and then we stayed over the first night in Lincoln, Nebraska, the second night in Park City, Utah, and we got to our hotels like late at night. We'd flip on the news, and we're just like, what is happening?
Right.
Completely went in fresh, had no idea, and then trying to play catch up, like watching news outlets, and then I don't know, maybe some Twitter videos or whatever. I just like jaw was on the ground, just totally speechless. Like, had no clue.
You needed Scott Hansen from the Red Zone when they're trying to show all the different protests going on all over the country. They couldn't fit all the cities on the screen. Right. They needed a quad box. So you got an octo box. I mean, to fit. Okay, we got Louisville, we got Las Vegas, we have Los Angeles. We have New York. You get the cop going right through the barricade. I got in Minneapolis. I got a white guy with an umbrella and a mask breaking windows in an auto zone. I mean, you had to watch all this footage, no matter what station you were watching. It's
like the Red Zone. Let's go to Denver, where we have a liquor store on fire.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, actually, I was in Phoenix, and we were talking about, man, it's so hot out. They're probably not going to be. Protesting out here. Well, they were protesting big time downtown Phoenix. I would not think of cities like Denver and Salt Lake as being hotbeds for protests, but you saw some of that too.
Yeah, I did. And there was one, this is one I could not wrap my head around. So I did see the reports, like, watch out downtown Summerlin. Like, for those of you who don't live here, like downtown Summerlin, first of all, again, nobody ever goes there except for the day after the pandemic is lifted up and the Nordstrom's rack has 7,000 people in there, right? It's like hoity-toity, upper crust, right? So I'm thinking to myself, are they really going to protest down there? And there was a great tweet from, I think, Las Vegas locally. Break out the peach Riesling spritzers for everybody. That's exactly the kind of people we're talking about. But you saw... The protests were, what, like 8 people?
Well, there were a few videos on Twitter last night of the protests in downtown Summer. We have more people in the studio right now than they had at that protest last night. At least for part of it I saw. There was about 8 people dancing around. They did not even have an organized chant. It was pretty pathetic.
Mm. All right, so...
So tell us about your drive to Minnesota or Wisconsin and back.
Well, I want to see how many people can relate to some of the stuff I'm about to tell you guys. So it took about 25 hours to get there from Las Vegas. We took a little bit longer on the way back. Took about 28 hours overall on the road to get there. First of all, thank God for satellite radio. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, and you might be only familiar with this show on VSiN from watching it, we are on Sirius XM channel 204. But if we didn't have satellite radio, I don't know what I would have done. Because just when you go through some of the parts of Nebraska and driving through the entire state of Wyoming... You're not going to get anything.
You get some country music in and out, right?
That's going to be pretty much it. Yeah. That's pretty much it. So we listened to Well, first of all, I caught your guys' we were on the way back on Friday. I caught your show on Friday. I thought it was great. Some of the guests I heard. You guys did the top 12 common man restaurants.
Yeah.
That was really good. I thought Matthew Holt's breakdown of the UFC was really good. Holt Jeff Davis explaining what was going to happen with yes-no playoff props.
Holt's picking winners on the UFC.
Yep. But we listened to some rock. We listened to some hip-hop, some pop, 60s music, 80s music. And there's a chance I'm going to regret saying this. But, Paul, I think you're going to agree with me. I will never, ever in my life listen to another Godsmack song when it comes on the radio, ever. The amount of airplay Godsmack gets is really unbelievable. Yes. And this is the comment that will not go over very well. Paulie, they are a slightly edgier version of Nickelback.
Yeah. I don't get it.
And every song is the same. Them.
I agree. Never cared for them. Didn't like them. Did you, were you concerned? Eclectic mix of series too. I mean, there's so many, anything you want, you can find for a channel perspective. Were you concerned at all making that drive about, uh-oh, I need some gas here. Well, where's a gas station? I'm up against it. Or I got to use a bathroom.
Nope. None of that.
Happened to me. I made the drive twice and coming back once from Minneapolis to Las Vegas. I mean, there was a stretch where, okay, I should be okay. And the next thing you know, I'm getting close to E, and I don't see a gas. Where's a gas station? I'm freaking out. Where is a gas? Finally. And right when I was on E, I found a gas station. There's a couple stretches where you're not going to see anything for
a while. There's actually a stretch out there. I don't know which way you went, Paul, but if you go, like, west of Laramie, Wyoming, there's a barren stretch out there where there's one city, like Rock Springs, Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere. And if that's it, if you don't get gas there, you're screwed.
I mean, first of all, maybe the highlight of the drive back, we saw about 15 antelope.
You went through Wyoming?
The whole state.
On the way there and the way
back? No, just on the way back.
Did you stop at Taco John's in Laramie?
I can't believe you know that exit.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm so pissed off. We specifically were going off that exit.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't find it. Once you actually took that, it was like exit 316 or something.
Right across the street from the Holiday Inn.
Once you got off the exit, we were searching high and low. There were no more signs for it. The fact that you know there's a Taco John's exit in Laramie is just the best thing of all time.
One block down the street, there's a Wendy's.
So we had to settle for McDonald's in Laramie. Anyway, I have
to say you went to McDonald's? There's a Taco John's in Laramie.
We couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. I have some.
That's a bad beat.
I'll get to those right now. I did not find many exotic, like local or regional fast food spots. There were like some Chester chickens, but they were buried inside gas stations. And I'm like, I think I'm going to lay off Chester's today. But it was like only Chester's and Taco Time. And that was it. I couldn't find anything else
Taco
that was like really
pretty
different.
Good. Taco Time has great hot sauce, by the way.
But to your point about McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So what is that, like 1,700 miles? There's a McDonald's every other exit.
And there's also a lot of Denny's out there, right?
I didn't notice that, actually.
Okay.
But the amount of McDonald's is just...
It's amazing, right?
Oh, God, if you were an investor right away on the ground floor, come on.
You don't think about it. I mean, if you just drive wherever you live and just write down all the... Just like you can't believe it. There's a McDonald's a block that way, south of me, and there's one a block north.
Yeah.
Excuse me, south and north. There's a McDonald's here. There's a McDonald's like Lombard. There's a McDonald's here, a McDonald's there.
McDonald's everywhere.
There are.
You look.
Yep. There's like two on the same street sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, here's a PSA for you. And look at this. Yeah, here's the McDonald's line over in, what was this? Yeah, over in Europe, one spot. England, yeah. You got to be drug tested if you're going to wait in that line.
I got back yesterday at the airport. I said, I want to swing by Popeyes. And if there's no line in the drive-thru or just a little bit of a line, I got to get the chicken sandwich. No cars in the Popeyes drive-thru yesterday. Zero cars.
I drove by a Popeyes.
What's going on?
But I already had lunch in the car. Two cars in the drive-thru. That was it. Yesterday, 11:45.
Really?
Right in the wheelhouse for lunch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one down the street is always backed up. It's always backed up. Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, crazy things going on the east side. Matt always has a bad experience at Burger King, and he always gets the chicken sandwich right away at Popeyes. I don't know.
That's not the far east side. I live on the Strip. It's just one block east of the Strip. Mm-hmm. So.
Here's a PSA for college football fans. If you ever go to Lincoln, Nebraska for a Cornhusker football game, stay at the Residence Inn on the south side. Now, we got the pandemic special. It was like $80, right? So it's probably never good. But I would also, here's the rub. Will Nebraska ever host another big home college football game ever in our lifetime? That I don't know. But
in our lifetime,
no, I know. I'm just joking. But the drive, I had no idea. The drive for like 8 or 10 miles to our hotel, I was blown away at how nice Lincoln, Nebraska was. Every home nicer on the block. Every block nicer than the previous one. Huge lawns, golf courses, great looking restaurants. I was like, this is Lincoln, Nebraska, huh? Wow, very impressive. And I'd been there one time before, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, too. I don't recall Lincoln like that in my memory.
Huskers
had a big game last season at home against Ohio State.
Yeah,
that didn't
well.
Go so well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, Paul, if you ever take a significant other to Park City, Utah for a weekend, it's over with. That is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. But, and I had to write down some of the liquor laws
just don't
that we
get
found
a pizza from, don't order a pizza
that's
from
right.
Pizza Hut, right?
No, that's right.
Park
yeah.
City.
Yep.
Yeah. Park City.
Another thing, I can't believe I've never been to a BYU game. We drove by that stadium.
Lavelle Edwards Stadium, right on the side of the mountain range. It's probably the most picturesque stadium in America, that and the Rose Bowl.
What a location that is. Yeah. Mad at myself for never going to a game, but I got to get this right. So we called around. It was on Friday night. The alcohol laws in Utah and how they've changed. Now get this. You can't buy liquor or wine at any grocery stores.
Oh.
So only sanctioned liquor stores will sell them. They have to be sanctioned. And you can go to you can actually get wine or liquor at a restaurant, but you also have to order food. And during the pandemic, all stores close at 7 p.m.
Yeah, I can't imagine how bad it is during the pandemic. I've spent too many nights in Utah, Salt Lake City, or Provo covering games. Try to find a strip club that's open.
Do they exist there?
There actually are a couple.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you make it to one?
That's a long story. I don't want to.
Oh, we got to get it one day.
You know. Yeah, I had a good discussion about this Friday with Dennis Bernstein. I mean, the strip clubs in L.A. stink.
Right.
I mean, who would have thought that?
No,
right?
They're terrible.
I mean,
strip clubs in California in general are
horrible.
Yeah.
Well, Las Vegas, number one. Montreal's fantastic, but it's like, why would that? That's strange. It's just. Horrible strip clubs in Los Angeles.
And you can take it from me now, because I've experienced both in the last, you know, couple of months. There is no debate anymore, ever. 107 degrees and little humidity is infinitely better than 78 degrees, super high humidity, and nonstop bugs.
There's no doubt about it.
There's no comparison. If anybody ever complains again, yeah, but Vegas, 110 dry heat, it blows high humidity and gnats. Just the never-ending string of gnats attacking my face the entire time I was back there. I'm like, you can have this crap. No way. Up next, we will dig into this city, Las Vegas reopening coming up on Thursday. We'll discuss some of the current concerns we might have coming up next.